Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I do want to encourage you to check out my ebook sale that I'm doing. I'm taking part in the smashwords.com authors give back sale, which will be running through May 31st. And if you go over to booksale.greatdetectives.net, you can see all the books I've got available on smashwords.com. I've had a couple for free, including my first two superhero comedy novels and also What Made the Golden Age Shine. In addition, I've got other ebooks that are on sale for 60% off. You just go ahead and use a code at checkout. So just go to booksale.greatdetectives.net to enjoy some great reading material, including my novel Slime Incorporated, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. Well, now it's time. Today's episode of Mystery is My Hobby. And this one is, Who Killed David Austin?
Mystery is my hobby.
Inspector Danton and I had spent the evening playing chess at the Lamplighters Club. It was shortly after 11 o'clock when I got back to my apartment. Almost at once, the telephone began ringing. Hello, Drake speaking.
Hello, Bart. This is Jack.
Well, Inspector, couldn't you sleep after that trimming I gave you at the club?
Bart, listen, I just had a call from a party named Austin. You know the family. They live down in Port Washington.
Well, yes, of course. David Austin was once one of our leading industrialists. Right now he's retired, living on his millions.
Yeah? Well, right now he's neither retired nor living on his millions. He's dead.
Dead?
Yeah, dead. Shot through the heart with a .38 caliber gun. The guy who called me said he was murdered.
And who is the guy who called you, Inspector?
Name of William Austin. He's Dave's nephew. Willie not only says his uncle was murdered, but he knows who's guilty.
Well, tell me more, Inspector. What's the guilty party's name?
Ernie Forbes. He's Bill Austin's cousin, which makes David Austin also his uncle.
Biologically, that's 100% correct, Inspector.
Huh? Yeah. Now, here's a gimmick. Ernie just got out of jail a month ago, and this afternoon he landed in New York.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, naturally, Bill Austin wants me to come down and arrest cousin Ernie right away.
Well, why don't you, Inspector?
Why don't I? I'm going to. That's why I'm calling you. Don't you want to come along?
No, thanks, Inspector. It all sounds too cut and dried for me. If you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Huh? Oh, look, Bart. Maybe there'll be complications.
If there are, Inspector, don't fail to let me know. Thanks for calling, old man.
Listen, Bart, for gosh sake.
Good night. No, God, you're trying to rout me out just because he likes company. Hello.
Hello. May I speak to Barton Drake, please?
This is Drake.
Mr. Drake, this is Francis Austin. Something terrible has happened.
Really? What is it?
My uncle, David Austin, has just been murdered.
Murdered? Are you sure?
I'm positive. My cousin, Bill, just shot him.
Bill? Well, look here, Miss Austin.
He did it, Mr. Drake. I practically saw him. I want you to come out right away and arrest him.
I'm afraid you've called the wrong party, Miss Austin. I have no authority to arrest anyone. Why don't you call the police?
I can't. Mr. Drake, can't you do something?
Well, possibly I can, Miss Austin. Wait until I get there, please, and disturb nothing.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Drake. I'll see that you're amply rewarded.
I'll be there as soon as I can, Miss Austin. Goodbye. Looks like a busy night for suspicion. I wonder who's calling this time of night. Well, what can I do for you?
Your name's Drake, isn't it? Barton Drake?
Yes, that's right. However, at the moment, I'm fairly...
I'm Ernie Forbes. Guess you heard of my uncle, David Austin?
Ernie Forbes, then... I see. What's on your mind, Ernie?
You're a detective, aren't you, Drake?
Of a sort.
Okay. I'm in a jam. In about an hour, the cops are going to be looking for me because I'm supposed to have murdered somebody.
Oh? And whom are you supposed to have murdered, Ernie?
My uncle, Dave Austin.
But of course you're not guilty.
That's it. I'm not guilty. My cousin Franny did it.
You can prove that.
No. All I know is I saw her sitting in her room with a gun.
What gun?
The gun that was used to knock off Uncle Dave. Only I can't prove nothing. That's where you come in.
I see.
I'm supposed to prove Franny guilty.
I don't care what you do about Franny. All I want you to do is prove that I'm not guilty. Look, Drake, when this story breaks, it's going to be a mess. And I'm going to be the fall guy.
Oh, and why are you going to be the fall guy, Ernie?
Well, it's like this. I got two cousins, Franny and Bill Austin. They're high-class society stuff. They've been living with Uncle Davy, sort of looking after him in his old age, like.
And what have you been doing?
Me, I like to get around. I stay in one place long, I get itchy feet. So a while back, I decided to become the family's black sheep.
Well, and were you successful at it?
No, I did all right. The thing is, when I walked out on the setup, I kissed goodbye to my share of Unc's dough. After all, Bill and Franny were willing to stick around, be nursemaids to the old boy, Lee Crope. I figured they deserved to get the leavings.
Yes, that sounds reasonable, Ernie.
But all the time I get letters from Unc asking me to come back home and start being a good boy. I don't pay no attention to letters. Till the one that come last week.
There was something special in that letter?
Yeah. Unc is scared, he says. He needs me.
Scared? Of what?
Scared he was going to be knocked off. It seems, according to the letter, Bill and Franny got tired of waiting for him to kick the bucket and decided to help things along. Them things sometimes happen, you know, Drake.
Indeed they do, Ernie. Please go on with your story.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't give the matter another thought. Except that in this letter, Unc says if I'll come home and be his ever-loving nephew, he'll boot Franny and Bill out and give me the dough.
So you decided to abandon black sheeping and come home and become your uncle's ever-loving nephew.
Well, who wouldn't when there's $5 million in the kitty? Besides, if Franny and Bill are planning to knock off Unc, I figured the least I could do was try and put the B on them.
But you arrived too late to put the B on them?
That's it. I got in town this afternoon. Tonight, Unc gets it right through the ticker. And I'm telling you, Drake, it looks like I'm the guilty party.
Why do you say that, Ernie?
Because I'm in my room across the hall from Unc, see?
Yes?
I hear a shot. I go galloping across the hall, find Unc on the floor with a gun beside him. And like a jerk, I pick the gun up and I'm standing there holding it when Bill comes prancing in.
Well, rather embarrassing, I should think.
You ain't kidding. I lost my head and socked Bill over the noggin with the gun and got out of there.
Where's the gun now?
Well, that's it. I must have dropped it in the excitement, which is a fact I discover after I get outside the house.
So you decided to go back?
Yeah. Only, when I get to the top of the stairs, I see Franny going into her room and she's got the gun.
So naturally, you assumed that it was Franny who'd murdered Uncle David.
Yeah. Now look, Drake. During the past 5 years, I haven't been what you might call a saint. With my background and my fingerprints on that gun and Bill's testimony, I got a feeling that I'm up a tree.
Yes, you certainly are, Ernie. Have you the letter that your Uncle David wrote you?
Yeah, sure. Got it right here. Go ahead, read it.
Thank you. My dear nephew Ernest, I hope that this letter reaches you soon enough. And in conclusion, I urge you to return to New York as soon as possible to take your rightful place in my household. Well, it's all there, as you said, Ernie. However, I'm afraid this letter will help very little in your efforts to prove yourself innocent.
What do you mean it won't help? Look, if Uncle asked me to come back...
Yes, I know, but since the letter is typewritten, how are you going to prove that your uncle wrote it?
Never thought of that.
You see?
Drake, you're supposed to be a detective. How am I going to beat this rap?
I haven't the slightest idea, Ernie.
I see. Okay, Drake, take a look at this.
Well, that's rather a large roll of bills.
There's $2,000 in that roll, Drake. It's every dime I own. Get me out of this jam and it's yours.
I think I can see your point, Ernie. Your uncle's fortune is worth $5 million. You think the 2,000 against $5 million are pretty good odds.
Yeah. $2,000 in my life against $5 million in your reputation. Is it a deal, Drake?
It's a deal, Ernie. Only frankly, I think you're being pretty much of a fool.
Yes?
Hello, lady. Somebody telephoned.
Oh, Mr. Drake. Thank goodness you... Good heavens. Are you Barton Drake?
No, I'm not Barton Drake. I'm Inspector Noah Danton, and
if... The police?
That's right, lady. You see...
Then Barton Drake did call the police.
Just a minute. How does Drake figure in on this deal anyway?
I expressly told him not to.
I'll bet that impressed him. Now, look...
I'm sorry, Inspector Danton. I'll not have you coming here and cluttering up the house. The next thing we know, there'll be reporters.
Now, whoa, just a minute, lady. Back up. Now, I'm going to clutter up the house whether you like it or not. And maybe there'll be reporters here, too.
Will there? We'll see about that.
All right, we'll see. Now, where's the body? And where's this Bill Austin and Ernie? And who are you, by the way?
How did you know about Ernie? I didn't tell Barton Drake.
Stop talking about Drake. He isn't coming. Now, do you answer my questions or do I go looking myself?
That won't be necessary, Inspector Danton. I'll answer your questions.
Huh? Are you Bill Austin?
Yes, it was I who called you. Fran, what's all this talk about Barton Drake?
Never mind about Drake. You certainly had your nerve calling the police, Bill. I suppose you thought that would divert suspicion from yourself.
Oh, Fran, for heaven's sake, stop being so ridiculous. Come along upstairs, Inspector. I'll show you how it happened.
That's a good idea. So one of you thought Cousin Ernie did the shooting, and one of you thought Cousin Bill did it. Who does Ernie think is guilty?
He'll probably accuse me. Although, of course, that's utter nonsense.
Oh, sure. Where's this Ernie now?
Well, if we knew Inspector Danton, I think our troubles would be over. This is the room here.
Okay, you two stay here. Let me look around. That's Austin on the floor, eh?
Yes, yes, as you can see.
Now, never mind. I can see, all right. Where's the gun?
I have it in my room. I rather thought you'd want to see the gun, Inspector.
What? You mean you picked it up?
Of course. How else do you think I got it to my room?
Well, I'll be... Look, let me get this straight. Who else touched that gun?
Bill did. After I heard the shot, I came running in here and found Bill standing over Uncle David's body with the gun in his hand. Naturally, I suppose that it was he who had shot Uncle David.
There's just one thing wrong with that story. Before Fran got here, I came in and found Ernie standing over Uncle David's body with the gun in his hand.
Well, 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 that's just dandy. Three sets of fingerprints on the lethal weapon. My, my. Now tell me, Bub, what did Ernie do when you caught him red-handed like that?
He hit me with the gun and ran. I was only out a minute. When I came to, the gun was lying on the floor. I picked it up and started out after Ernie and met Fran here coming in.
And, of course, Fran told you which way Ernie had run because she must have met him in the hall.
No, I didn't. I was asleep in my bedroom when the shot came. It took me a few minutes to collect my senses enough to realize what had happened.
Listen, what's the matter with you?
A car stopped out in front of the house. I'm going to see who it is.
Who in the world would be coming here at this time of night?
Ernie, he just got out of a cab. Well, what do you want us to do, Inspector Danton?
We'll just sit tight and see what happens. Turn off those lights, Austin.
Okay.
You two get up against the wall there. Let me handle this. This is something I can't figure at all. What's Ernie doing back here unless he's as innocent as a newborn babe?
He's after his gun. That was your own theory, Inspector.
Yeah, I know. Only that theory's cockeyed when you stop to think that...
There's someone in the hall outside.
Okay, you two keep behind me. All right, Ernie, get your hands up. No tricks. Now turn on those lights, Austin.
Right.
Well, Inspector, you certainly look determined with that gun in your hand.
Bart, what the devil...
Bart, are you Barton Drake?
Yes, I am. I imagine you're Miss Austin, and this must be your cousin Bill.
Now, just a minute. Just a minute. Bart, what kind of a gag is this?
It's no gag, Inspector. Ernie asked me if I'd check up on a few facts concerning his uncle's
death. Ernie, is he here?
Sure, I'm here. You see, Drake? I told you if I came back, they'd be laying for me.
Why not? From where I sit, you're the guilty party, Bob, and it's my duty to...
Just a minute, Inspector. Have you a warrant for Ernie's arrest?
No,
Does the evidence you have indicate he's any more guilty than Bill or Fran?
Well, I...
Is Ernie's motive any stronger than that of his two cousins?
Maybe not,
Sorry,
but...
Inspector. Ernie's my client, and I must warn you that I will be forced to take steps if you arrest him without sufficient evidence.
Big help you turned out to be, Bud.
D-A-B-C-D.
What are you fishing through that filing cabinet for?
Yeah, here we are. Let's see now.
When I asked you to come out here with me, you said you couldn't. Sorry, Inspector. Too cut and dried. Ernie offers you a slice of dough and you...
Flanders, four... Here we are.
What do you mean, here we are? Why don't you answer my question? What's the idea of telling me you'll take steps? Ernie's my client. I must warn you, Inspector, that I'll have to take steps. Doggone it, Bart. What's the idea?
Hmm? Oh, sorry, Inspector. Did you say something?
Oh, no. I didn't say a thing. Not a thing.
Good. Inspector, see that package of letters lying on the desk?
Sure, I see them. I'm not blind.
Those letters, Inspector, were written by David Austin to his nephew Ernie, urging Ernie to abandon his wayward habits and return to New York.
So what?
These papers that I have just removed from David Austin's filing cabinet are carbon copies of some of those letters.
Now, isn't that remarkable? So Uncle Dave wrote Ernie some letters urging him to come back to New York. So Ernie came. So now, where are we?
I want you to look closely at the envelopes of Ernie's letters, Inspector, especially the stamps. Do you notice anything unusual?
Well, no. Some of them are upside down, some of them are coming loose, and some of them are practically missing. What's unusual?
Inspector, this is important evidence. It proves that my client, Ernie, had good cause to be here in this house tonight, doesn't it?
Bart, have you suddenly gone crazy?
What?
What's proving that got to do with anything? And what's all this hocus-pocus about your client, Ernie? Look, are you with me or against me on this case?
I'm placing this evidence in your hands, Inspector. I suggest that you peruse carefully. I'm warning you of the consequences if you don't.
That's the second time you've warned me, and I'm sick of it.
Splendid. Pick up those letters and come along, Inspector.
Okay. I'll be along.
Ah, there you are, Ernie. Well, Bill, too. When did you get back, Bill?
Back? Back from where? I haven't been any place.
Bill Austin, that's a lie. I saw you out on the corridor only a few minutes ago.
Are you crazy? Ernie and I have been sitting here ever since Drake and Danton left us. Haven't we, Ernie?
Yep. Haven't budged an inch.
The idea. You're both lying.
Never mind, Miss Austin. It isn't important. Oh, come in, Inspector. Have you got the letters?
Yeah, I got them right here in my pocket.
Good. Ernie, we found carbon copies of some of the letters your uncle wrote to you. I'm glad to say that proves you were telling the truth.
Well, Natch. You didn't think I'd lie to you, did you?
Not I, Ernie, but others might. Now then, if Bill and Fran knew that your letter was writing, your uncle was writing you letters requesting that you return to the family fold, it would give them both a good motive for murder, wouldn't it?
That's what I figured.
Well, the idea...
What the devil are you talking about, Drake?
I'm talking about the possibility of your murdering Uncle David, Bill, before he had a chance to change his will in Ernie's favor.
You're going to have a fine time proving that.
Yes, possibly you're right. By the way, Miss Austin... Your uncle had a secretary, didn't he?
Yes, of course. Her name is Pauline Milford. She came here to the house every day to take dictation.
Mm-hmm. May I have her address, please?
What do you want Pauline's address for? What's she got to do with it?
Oh, it's nothing important, Bill. Tomorrow, the inspector and I will want to ask Miss Milford some routine questions. You were about to give us Miss Milford's address, Miss Austin?
It's 32 West Acorn Street. But I don't
32
see...
32 West Acorn, thank you. Well, Inspector... It turned out to be a cut-and-dried affair after all, didn't it?
No. I think you're way off the beam.
No, Dexter. Huh? Why do you always hate to see a case solved without dramatics? You know as well as I do that when we check the fingerprints on that gun, we're going to find that David Austin shot it.
Do I? I don't think so. And I'll tell you
tell
why
me later,
I don't
Inspector.
Think so.
Tell me later. We've inconvenienced these people enough as it is. I suggest that you all go to bed and get some sleep. We'll call you in the morning and let you know what the fingerprints show. Come along, Inspector.
All right, I'm coming, but if you think...
Thank you very much, Miss Milford. Yes, I understand. Yes. We'll be at your apartment in 15 minutes. Goodbye. Now, let's see. 32 Acorn Street is 4 blocks north and 2 east. All right, Inspector, start her up and let's go.
What were you doing in that drugstore?
Oh, I was making a telephone call, Inspector.
Oh, you were?
Yes. I called Miss Pauline Milford. Pity to get her out of bed at this time of night.
I suppose I'm a sucker for asking. What were you calling Miss Milford for?
I asked her if you and I might borrow her apartment until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Naturally, she agreed. That's where we're going now.
Oh, so that's where we're going now.
Right.
And that's what you think. I'm driving this car, don't forget.
So you are, Inspector. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone through that red light.
Gone through the... By golly, in a minute, Bud. I'm going to sound off. There's just so much of this sort of stuff I can take, even from you.
What is it you want to know, Inspector?
Plenty. In the first place, how do you think you're going to prove that David Austin shot himself just because his left-handed fingerprints might be on that gun?
I don't, Inspector.
Then why did you tell those kids that you could?
Those kids, Inspector, aren't as quick-minded as you. I estimate it'll be at least an hour before it occurs to them that my theory about the thumbprint was ridiculous.
So when they figure it out, what are they going to do?
One of them is going to head for 32 West Acorn Street with the idea of murdering Miss Pauline Milford.
Murdering Pauline Milford?
Right.
What do they want to murder Austin's secretary for?
Turn here, Inspector. This is Acorn Street. Because Miss Milford, Inspector, is the only one who can prove the identity of the person who murdered David Austin.
She is, huh? Well, why didn't you ask her who was guilty when you talked to her on the telephone?
Slow down, Inspector. I think 32 must be along here somewhere. My idea is to trap the murderer, Inspector. Otherwise, we might have difficulty in proving his or her guilt.
Well, all right. I suppose it'll turn out okay. It always does. Only I'm beginning to get one of my headaches.
Yes, this is it, Inspector. Number 32. Let's go in.
Sometime I'm going to get sore at you, Bach. Make you tell me what you're up to, or else.
Or else what, Inspector? Here's the directory. Let's see. Milford, Pauline. Apartment number 20. That'll be on the second floor.
There's the elevator over there. Or else, by golly, I'm going to do something about it.
Push the second floor button, will you, Inspector?
Okay.
I don't blame you, Inspector. I must be a very annoying person.
I hate to put the screws on, Bart, but there's a limit to what a man in my position can take.
Here we are. I'll open the door. I can see your point of view perfectly, Inspector. The next time I handle a case, I shall spare you embarrassment by neglecting to ask you to come along.
Oh, I don't know as we have to go that far. Well, all I ask is a reasonable amount of consideration.
18, 19, 20. 20, here we are.
I'm not a hard guy to get along with at all when you come right down to it.
Let's see. Now, Miss Milford said there was always another key in the nail above the door. Yeah, here it is.
As a matter of fact, I'm downright agreeable now that I think about it.
The light switch must be here on the wall someplace. There we are. Step inside, Inspector, and close the door, please.
Yes, sir. When you come right down to it... Hey, look. There's a babe sitting in that chair.
Good heavens. Inspector, stay where you are.
What's the matter? Is she dead?
No, just frightened. Don't move closer. You'll be in the line of fire. Get your gun out quick.
All right.
Keep your hand away from your pocket, copper.
Well, well. My client, Ernie.
Yeah. Your client, Ernie. Drake, I got to admit that you're smarter than I gave you credit for.
Thank you, Ernie. Frankly, I must confess that I underestimated your intelligence.
Didn't think I'd get onto your left-handed fingerprint gimmick so quick, huh?
That's right, Ernie. I didn't.
Then asking for the address of Pauline Milford, just so I'd know where she lived. Drake, you know your way around. But you got a lot to learn.
Yes, you're so right. I should brush up on my psychology of the criminal mind.
Yeah. It's too bad you stopped the telephone. Otherwise, you'd have gotten here just... Keep your hands up, Denton. I'd as soon plug your Zeke.
Don't tear your shirt, Bob. You're not going to plug anybody.
Oh, no?
No, that gun you're holding hasn't got any bullets in it.
Are you nuts? It's loaded to the hilt.
Pull the trigger and see. It's the gun we took away from you earlier this evening. And left on the table in Austin's study, isn't it?
What if it is? It's loaded. Now keep away from me, you fool.
Do you think we'd be crazy enough to leave a loaded gun around? Put it down, Ernie.
Keep back or oh,
I don't...
Inspector! You're not concentrating.
I'm tired. Look, Bart, let's call it a draw and go home. I can hardly see the chessmen.
All right, just as you say, Inspector. By the way...
Yeah?
Don't you want to know how I knew that Ernie would try to murder Pauline Milford?
Nope. No? Who cares? He didn't murder her, and he's confessed to killing David Austin, so what difference does it make?
In the first place, I knew that David Austin was left-handed because the stamps on the letter he wrote to Ernie were turned up in the upper left-hand corner.
So what?
When a right-handed person affixes a stamp to an envelope, it's the lower right-hand corner that turns up because the corner is rarely moistened.
Oh, I'm sleepy.
Therefore, I knew that the last letter Ernie received from his uncle was written by a right-handed person. That made me suspicious that Ernie had written that letter himself.
Is that a fact?
And since that was the only letter in which Uncle David had promised Ernie part of his inheritance, I assumed that Ernie had followed up those first letters with one of his own.
Oh, that bet of mine will certainly feel good.
It remained then for me to prove that Uncle David had never written a letter promising Ernie part of his inheritance.
Yeah, sure.
And naturally, the only one who would know that would be his secretary, Miss Pauline Milford, since all the letters were typewritten. Do you follow me, Inspector?
Did you say something, Bob?
Naturally. None of my theories would have amounted to anything if you hadn't had the nerve to kid Ernie into thinking that that gun wasn't loaded.
Sure. Huh? What was that, Bob?
Believe me, Inspector, your understanding of human psychology is 100% better than mine.
You don't say. Well, now, do you mean that, Bart?
I certainly do, Inspector.
Well, come to think of it, it was mighty clever of you, the way you figured things out.
Why, thank you, Inspector.
Say, Bart.
Yes, Inspector?
The next time you get a case, are you going to call me?
Why, I wouldn't think of taking a case without you, Inspector.
Well, Bart, you're a very nice guy. Do you know why I think so?
No. Oh, yes, I do, of course, Inspector.
Why?
Mystery is my hobby.
Welcome back. Well, at the end of this episode, I was pretty clear on who killed David Austin. I was a little bit lost on why. Because David Austin did not actually write the black sheep nephew back into his will, so I'm just not seeing how he profited from this. I did like how this episode showed that Inspector Danton, despite being a bit... dependent on Drake, is not a fool at all, as he recognize, several key clues. And in fact, Drake just had to get him to shut up because he saw the flaw in what Drake was saying where the suspects didn't. So Inspector Danton's got good technical knowledge, but sometimes is not quite as tactical as he needs to be. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback, and we have a couple of comments regarding the episode Dude Ranch. Brian writes, "Really love this episode. So easy to picture in my mind. I believe the ex-con had reformed. I was disappointed when the money belt came up, but love the twist. It was something Sherlock Holmes would have done, very unlike what Inspector Javert from Les Mis would have done. I did catch at the end that Bart and Inspector Danton had put the young couple's life at risk by planting a trap to catch a dangerous killer and never telling them about it." Yeah, that might be a good step to take. And then TP writes, "Interesting episode. It seemed to be, let's insert Bart and Drake into an episode of suspense and see what happens. And surprise, it worked very effectively." That's actually a pretty good analogy. Thanks so much for the comment, TP. And I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Delilah. Delilah has been one of our Patreon supporters since December, currently supporting the show at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And next Thursday, we'll be back with another episode of Mystery is My Hobby. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.